very much. It was enjoyable.
Best of luck, Bob.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Hi, everyone. We are back in our last half hour of our two-hour program of Positive Business. I'm Patricia Raskin with my co-host, Marianne Snow, and from SophiaThinkConsulting.com. And I want to say that I'm interviewing one of my favorite people who I have known for several years and have never met in person, who I think is one of the greatest brilliant people of our time. Are you listening, Michael?
Sure am. Thank you, Patricia.
Michael Gelb is internationally renowned author, speaker, and consultant. He helps individuals and organizations worldwide find innovative solutions to their most important challenges. He is the world's leading authority on the application of genius thinking to personal and organizational development. He's a pioneer in the fields of creative thinking, accelerated learning, and innovative leadership. Michael Gelb has led seminars for DuPont, Merck, Microsoft, Nike, Raytheon, and brings more than 30 years of experience as a speaker and leader. He's the author of 12 books on creativity and innovation. I wasn't kidding about Michael. And his international bestseller, How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, 7 Steps to Genius Every Day, sold millions and millions of copies. And what we're talking about today with Michael is the application of principles discussed in How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci to business and career success. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's terrific. And let's talk about this. You know, I do want to say one thing on a personal note that I want the audience to know. This is not for business. This is more personal. But I want to say that Michael recently married 3 or 4 years ago. How long has it been, Michael?
It's actually just a little over 2 years.
2 years. And I mean, he is so in love. I've interviewed both him and his wife, who's an incredible opera singer and beautiful woman. And the love that comes, I mean, it was enchanting. So I just wanted to tell you that what a wonderful role model you are for pure love.
Ah, thank you. That's so sweet.
All right.
And I think my wife, Deborah, is an amazing role model and embodiment of pure love. And you mentioned that she's a world-class opera
singer.
Yes,
she is. Yeah.
And one of the things that we do together for our business clients, because they're always looking for team building, and after an intensive day of training in the principles of how to think like Leonardo and application of those principles to people's most important business needs, we like to get together with them and guide them through a wine dinner, where we do comparative tastings of fabulous wine.
It's another expert thing that you're expert of is wine, and you've written a book on that.
That's true. I wrote a book called Wine Drinking for Inspired Thinking. Mm. And as part of my own, you know, creative vision of having the most possible fun while helping my clients solve their most important problems.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about their most important problems. Let's talk about, you know, what are some of these steps to think like Leonardo da Vinci, who, as you feel, was one of the greatest geniuses of our time.
Well, the first principle is one you are applying already, and anyone who's listening is also applying. The first principle is curiosity. Hmm. Leonardo da Vinci was probably the most curious person who ever lived, and he knew that the human mind operates in response to questions. It's our birthright. Every child comes into the world asking questions. I mean, who are the most creative people you've ever met and the most curious people? Well, they're little kids. And the people we come to call geniuses are the people like Leonardo who maintain that passionate curiosity.
That's what I want to ask is, so many times we see that in children, and then somewhere along the way, Michael, it gets stifled.
Well, this is, you know, here's...
And that's why you teach. That's what you teach.
You know, if it didn't, I wouldn't have been in business for the last 32 years, but it's especially important in the world of work because, you know, we all have this birthright of curiosità in Leonardo's native Italian, and we're playful. This is our natural modality for learning. That's why children learn so much in the first few years. But then they go to school, and you're in, you know, second or third grade, and a child raises their hand and asks a really creative, interesting question, and the teacher says, no, that's not in the state-mandated curriculum, and all the kids laugh at you, and everybody learns this lesson early on, never, ever, ever do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So then it gets worse when you go to college or graduate school, especially if you ever had a professor who wrote the book, right? Because you have to jump through all sorts of hoops to get your MBA or your PhD or whatever mm-hmm. you're trying to get. Then you go into the world of work, and it used to be okay because the world you were going into 30 years ago was a bureaucracy where we didn't really want you to think for yourself. We wanted you to just get the right answer as held by the person in authority. So in school, it was your teacher. In college, it was your professor. And at work, it was your boss. But that world doesn't exist anymore. And now every single client I have, every single one of those companies you mentioned and every other one I work with, they aren't kidding. They really want everybody at every level to think creatively. They want independent, original thinking. They want innovation.
Mm-hmm.
However, people have been programmed to avoid being original and creative because they weren't, not only were they not rewarded for it in school, they felt punished for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
so,
you know, Michael, this is Marianne. You know, companies say they want creative and innovative thinkers. Are they prepared for that? And are they prepared to support them so that they can actually continue to be creative and innovative?
Well, see, that is the critical question, because everybody talks the talk, but you know the Bateson's notion of the schizophrenogenic family?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what most corporations are today, because they say, you know, we need you to be creative, we want you to be independent, we want you to be innovative. Just don't make any mistakes,
right.
And make sure you get, you know, all of the ridiculous amount of work that we've already given you done to perfection. And the people are more stressed than they've ever been. They've been asked to do far more with much less. And there's no big reward or celebration at the end. It's always, what have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a mixed message, and it's you know, what my job, what I actually do for a living, is I go in there and try to bridge the gap.
Right.
I literally just got off the phone with a client. I'm going to do it. I won't mention the name of the company, but it's a major company. And they said to me, literally, you know, how can our people be, our CEO has said innovation is one of our strategic priorities. But they want me to do the seminar because their people have no clue how to execute that notion given the demands of their job.
All right, and we're going to talk about that now. I just want to mention your other book. I mean, talking about creativity, now you wrote another book called Innovate Like Edison, The Success System of America's Greatest Inventor, and you wrote it with Sarah Miller Caldicott, who was related to Edison?
That is right. She's Thomas Edison's great-great-grandniece.
Isn't that something? Yeah, something.
And Sarah was a great exemplar of the first Da Vinci principle of curiosity, because she called me up about 10 years ago, said that she had read How to Think Like Leonardo, was very inspired, and wanted to talk about it. And in the nanosecond that I heard her say this, a light bulb went off in my brain, and I...
No pun intended.
Right? This entrepreneurial idea. I said, well, hey, we'll write a book together about Edison, and we'll do with for Edison what we, you know, what I already do with Da Vinci.
Yeah,
I didn't tell her this right away. I waited. But she loved the idea, and we wrote the book, and it's another one of the metaphors that I use with clients to help them think like an innovator. Right?
Absolutely.
We call it innovation literacy. You can't innovate if you don't know the thinking and communicating skills.
All right, so
of
let's
an
do
innovator.
Them. Let's go over them again. The first one's curiosity. Let's do the second one.
The second one in Italian is dimostrazione, and in English it translates as demonstration. And what it means is, as Leonardo said, learn to demonstrate things in your own experience. Become an original, independent thinker. Now, in Leonardo's time, the challenge to do that was, besides the strictures of the church, was it was just hard to get access to information. Books were rare, and if you could find one, it was in Latin. So, you know, Leonardo da Vinci taught himself Latin when he was 40 years old so he could read the classics as they became available. What's the challenge to independent thinking today? Too much information. How do you cut through the tsunami of spam to think for yourself without becoming a cynic?
And how do you do that, Michael?
Well, Leonardo gives us actual practical advice. On page 50 of How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, you can see an exquisite illustration done by the maestro himself of three views of a flower. And it's the clue. This is, you know, here's the great thing is when I was investigating...
I see it right here. It's beautiful.
Right? When I was investigating the notebooks of Leonardo, I asked this revolutionary question with my curiosità, which was, what can we learn from him? How can we apply his wisdom to developing ourselves personally and professionally? How can I make this the teachings of the greatest genius of history accessible to people who want to develop their potential and ability at work and just for their own, for their families, for themselves? And the great news is, by asking that question, this is the power of curiosità, I started reading Leonardo's notebooks, and he tells you his method. He says, here's how to do it. He's giving advice to students. So he asks questions all the time throughout the notebooks, and he proceeds to experiment based on the questions. And then he says, look, if you want to develop this ability to think independently, and this is why the three views of the flower is such a great clue, he says you have to learn to look at things from multiple perspectives. Mm-hmm. He says we're all subjective. We're all subject to believing our own prejudices, and we have to think critically. So we have to seek out different opinions. And you know, here's the thing that's really, I mean, it's great that Leonardo said this. It's great that there's all sorts of examples that he gives. And it's great that he actually draws everything from at least three different angles. But here's what really makes me pay attention, and I think it's powerful for my students, is what are the things that Leonardo da Vinci, operating in Florence and Milan in the 15th century, and Thomas Edison, operating in good old New Jersey in the end of the 19th century, what are the things that these two amazing geniuses of creativity and innovation, respectively, what do they have in common?
What do they have in common?
Well, all of these principles, they just have different names for them.
Isn't that interesting? All right, so let's go through the principles now. We did the first three.
We did the first two. So, curiosità, dimostrazione, think for yourself. The third Da Vinci principle is sensazione, sharpen all your senses.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a critical business edge. You know, you got to be sharp.
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to be surrounded by people who are dull. It's a sensory term. You have to see what's going on. Be a better listener.
Okay. And the next one?
Next one is sfumato, which is a word that art critics coin to refer to the hazy, mysterious quality in Leonardo's paintings. And what it represents is one of the most distinguishing characteristics of highly creative people, which is their ability to embrace uncertainty and the unknown.
That doesn't make it easy, though.
but that's, you have to learn to smile like the Mona Lisa. And this, you know, here's the deal is, the faster things change, the greater the level of uncertainty. Things are changing faster than ever. This principle is more important than ever.
And again,
Leonardo guides us as to how we can learn to center ourselves and maintain our perspective in the face of tremendous change.
What are some of the things he says about that, about change?
One of the things he says is to always look for what is unchanging. In the midst of external change, look for timeless truths.
That's great advice.
Which is, you know, easy to say, hard to do, but, you know, we need reinforcement. Just when I say those words, everybody who's listening says, oh, yeah, of course. We all think we know that, but we all forget those timeless truths, when our company goes through a unexpected reorganization, and then another one, and another one, and another one. He also counsels us to maintain our sense of humor, which is another thing that Edison did as well. So, again, there's so many confluences between them.
Now, Michael, it's Marianne. One of the things that really struck me when I was looking through the How to Think Like Leonardo, the visible expression of grace.
Yes.
It was. It just resonated with me.
Oh, cool.
And obviously, your description, you're talking about, it was really speaking more to physical manifestations. But isn't it broader than that? It's, you know, you're talking about the issue of living with change and thinking things of things in multiple perspectives.
Yep.
So it seems to me like that's such a fabulous concept.
Well, I am so thrilled that you registered that, because that's one of my favorite lines in the book.
Yeah, that one really, it struck me.
And so what does it mean to have grace?
Well, it's when you're in alignment with timeless wisdom. You know, this line is frequently attributed to Frank Zappa, but it's actually a misquotation. It really comes, it's a paraphrase of something that Franz Kafka said. And what Kafka said was, put in a modern idiom, he said, in the battle between you and the universe, I'm betting on the universe.
So, Michael, does grace mean to let things flow naturally, that they just kind of happen the way they're supposed to when it's right? Is that what grace means?
That's something, well, you know, Leonardo was a Western Taoist, and the Tao is the notion of this harmony that is obviously more apparent when we're have access to nature, and it's knowing yourself, it's knowing the realities of the circumstances around you, and, you know, as they say, don't push the river, it flows by itself. So it's finding that flow in the midst of the stresses and the challenges of everyday life. Lao Tzu said, be really whole and all things will come to you.
Love it. So, Book of Tao.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Right? So part of that wholeness, and this relates to the sixth principle for thinking like Leonardo, which is to balance the mind and body. And you know, there's practical methods that I teach, the Alexander technique being one, Tai Chi and Qigong, Aikido. I've trained to teach all these things because I think people need all the help they can get in experiencing that sense of flow and grace in their real. If you can ground it in everyday practical movement, it's a lot easier to access the more emotional, psychological, and spiritual elements of grace.
Let's take a break, but before we do, what's the last principle, the last step?
Connessione, everything connects to everything else. Be a systems thinker. And we also, there's also arte scienza, the fifth principle, which is, in modern idiom, we'd say balance your whole brain.
Fabulous. We're going to come back with our incredible Michael Gelb, who is an internationally renowned author, speaker, and consultant. He's the world's leading authority on the application of genius thinking to personal and organizational development. He's written 12 books, How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, bestseller, and Innovate Like Edison, as well as many others. We'll be back with Michael. You can call him with your questions, 437-5000. You're listening to Positive Business. I'm Patricia Raskin, right here with Marianne Snow. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. We are back. You are listening to Positive Business, and I'm Patricia Raskin, right here on AM 790. With my co-host Marianne Snow of SophiaThinkConsulting.com. And with us, our guest is Michael Gelb, who is the world's leading authority on the application of genius thinking to personal and organizational development. He's worked with companies like Nike, Microsoft, Merck for over 30 years. He's the author of 12 books. Two of them we've been talking about today, How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, 7 Steps to Genius Every Day, and Innovate Like Edison, the Success System for America's Greatest Inventor. Welcome back back, Michael. Michael, how can people find you and give us your bottom line message for our listeners? And, I mean, you've written so many books. Here's another one, More Balls Than Hands, Juggling Your Way to Success by Learning to Love Your Mistakes.
Yeah,
that's a
Michael,
good one.
I'm a juggler, too.
Oh, how cool is that? So with Leonardo, you'll be pleased to know.
Excellent.
Well, all right, so closing thoughts, which somehow has to talk about juggling your way to success by learning to love your mistakes, and your website, Michael.
Website is michaelgelb.com. That's G-E-L-B, michaelgelb.com. And I invite people, come to the website. There are lots of free, I repeat, free articles that you can download, and really cool, fun, free videos. You can watch me talking to various groups about Leonardo and Edison, and share these with your friends and loved ones for free.
All right.
MichaelGelb.com.
And can they write to you and tell you that they heard it right here on this program?
Please, please. That would be great.
All right. Yeah, please do that. There's a lot of great information. So what is your message? What would you like to leave our listeners with, Michael?
Well, Leonardo da Vinci said, fix your course to a star and you can navigate through any storm. And Nietzsche said, forgetting one's purpose is the commonest form of stupidity. So when Leonardo says fix your course to a star, he means remember your purpose, align yourself with timeless wisdom, and you can then navigate through the change and stress of our crazy contemporary business world.
And also to love your mistakes, but not make them again after the first one, right?
Amen.
All right. Thanks so much, Michael. And people can like log on to michaelgelb.com. As I said, Michael really is a genius in his application of these incredible principles. His book, national bestseller, How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci, Seven Steps to Everyday Genius, Innovate Like Edison, Success System of America's Greatest Inventor, More Balls Than Hands, Juggling Your Way to Success, and there's 12 more. And your new one coming out in January is...
Brain Power, Improve Your Mind as You Age.
Oh, that's it.
Anybody who has a brain and wants to know how to use it as the days go by.
Absolutely, and we're going to have you on many programs with me. All right, Michael, thank you so much for being on the show.
Grazie mille. Thank you.
Okay, bye, Michael. All right, and thank you, Marianne Snow, for being a great co-host, and thank you, Matt Coppola.
You can really pronounce it any way you like.
All right. Not it's related to Francis Ford.
Uncle Frank? Yeah.
Yeah.
Fan of his wine.
All right, folks. Stay healthy, stay happy. Get the support you need. I know you can make your dreams come true. Write to me, Patricia, at patriciarastin.com. Send you a copy of my newsletter. Write to Marianne at sophiathinkconsulting.com. And we'll be with you next week for an all-new, terrific program right here on Positive Business. Until then, I'm Patricia Raskin right here on AM 790. Bye for now.